Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Some councils are auditing schools and urging a ban on the terms boy and girl.
For those who are in an open or polyamorous relationship, your relationships are holy.
A gay black woman's victim status is less than that of a black trans woman, who ranks below a black Muslim trans woman.
We don't want to just win the argument about sexuality. We want to use this as a gospel opportunity.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh boy! A Puritan game show!
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
Although when you think about it, a Puritan probably wouldn't play a game show.
I'm thinking,
or
yeah.
Pretty much anything else, frankly. This is Wretched Radio. Here's a question for you before we get to the thing, before we get to the deal with the other part. Puritans had a radically different perspective than we 21st century evangelicals have on the theater, which today, of course, we'd call cable TV. They thought a Christian who participated in any way, shape, or form in the theater, from performing to simply partaking and watching it, couldn't be a Christian. I wonder what they'd think of what we consume with cable TV today. But enough about the Puritans. Let's play a Puritan game show. No, we'll do a Pietist game show. That should make you more comfortable, Tony. That's a little closer.
Only a
to
little.
Lutheranism. I had breakfast this morning.
Good for you.
Because that's usually when you have breakfast. With a Lutheran pastor, I learned something. There's a little bit of a skirmish going on in conservative, meaning confessional, Lutheran circles. Would you like to know what the big debate is? At least in some quarters of Lutheranism, and no, it doesn't have anything to do with the social justice movement.
Pray tell.
Liturgy.
Really?
They're wrangling over the liturgy. How dogged should they be in maintaining an historical liturgy versus how much maneuvering can we do, all the way down to should a pastor be wearing a certain... what is the name of the thing? They've got the robe that goes
the
over
surplus?
The top.
Stole?
Well, if they
you
have
the
extra
surplus?
Ones. Well, those are extras, if I'm not mistaken.
The stole that goes around, is it stole?
Yeah, I think it's called it. That's a stole. What's stole?
Wow. No, it's usually given or bought, but.
Oh, here we go.
Should you, that's stolen. Should you lift up the elements when
yes.
they are being, quote, consecrated? You think yes. Okay, see, there it is right there. You could partake in that Lutheran debate over liturgy. I'll tell you, I wish other evangelicals would at least have a debate. No, I wish other evangelicals would at least familiarize themselves with the concept of liturgy. So many churches, everybody's got a liturgy. Just a lot of them don't realize they do. And they should maybe just say and put a little bit of thought into what the Sunday service is like, that there is a flow to it. That there is a building of it, that there is messaging that is given throughout the liturgy, as opposed to, now my impression of a typical evangelical call to worship. Here we go. Hey, morning church! How's everybody doing in Rochester? That isn't really an historical call to worship. May I ask a question? What is your church's liturgy? Is there thought put into it from we do a call to worship, that we do some sort of confession of sins, an announcement that sins are indeed forgiven by Jesus Christ, a praising of God for those things that he has given to us in the cross? Anything like that in your church? Might want to think about it. The Lutherans these days appear to be debating it maybe a little further in the weeds than they need to be, but nevertheless, a conversation about liturgy ain't a bad thing. All right, now, Tony, if you'd quit interrupting, we'll get
Sorry.
Back to this.
I will try and be quieter.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
So maybe you're thinking, what makes this a Puritan game show as opposed to another game show?
Hey,
you might think, well, it's deadly boring. Well, that would be very puritanical. It's really, really long, and it's starting to feel that way right about now. Or... because it has subpoints. That would be the correct answer. So, Tony, you're going to have to do some math on this as you are in-house Lutheran, represent the tens and tens of people listening to this here Wretched Radio broadcast. We'll try to keep track. Our first contestant, and you be the judge for which story is the worserest. The first one is actually a game show within a game show. Are you ready to play? Now, you're also going to have to play dumb on this. Now,
I can do that.
I didn't want to say
I do dumb.
You do have gifts.
I do. And that would be one of them.
You're going to have to play a little dumb because of this story. I think you're familiar with it, which is a little bit of a cheat for you. But I'm going to give you a list of actual issues that the Minneapolis City Council voted on. And you have to tell me which one it is. And then if you get it right, that will be one of the participants in which one is worserest. Are we all keeping track of the math here?
Sure. You never told me there'd be math.
This is going to be a keeper. I can just feel it already. So the Minneapolis City Council had a big vote. By the way, it actually passed initially. They voted that to replace prison guards with the inmates acting as the guards. That's option number one. As students replacing the teachers to teach. That's potential vote number two. Parents will no longer parent the kids. Instead, the kids will act as the parents. They voted on that. Or there would be no police. Instead, citizens, armed citizens, would act as the police force. Or option number five, there would be no more elected officials. Instead, the citizens would just rotate, sometimes playing the governor, sometimes the mayor. You just wait your turn. So the citizens actually assume that role. Which one of those five did the Minneapolis City Council actually vote on and initially pass?
The last one made too much sense. So it could be any of the first four.
Yeah. All right. Which one?
Let's go with police being replaced by...
Ding, 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 ding. Correct, sir. You won.
There we go. Never told me there'd be math.
A number of weeks ago, if and I'm not mistaken, because, you know, the short-term memory thing, I do believe I said something like, try to imagine the dumbest thing that you can concoct in your noggin and then just give it time. And it will come to pass. And lo and behold, that is exactly what the Minneapolis City Council has done, voting to defund the police another $500,000, which in government halls isn't that much money these days. But to replace the police, they are then going to be letting citizens, even armed citizens, act as the police force. It just doesn't get more Isaiah 5 than that, does it? Where the world is just thinking so amazingly poorly that they're actually voting. Here's the details, because it's just a little too ridiculous for me to state it without you hearing details to actually believe it. During the city council meeting, council member Alondra Cano, C-A-N-O, she sings of arms and the man? Sorry. She proposed cutting $500,000 from the budget for citizen groups, described it as an effort to, quote, respond to the hundreds of people who have formed their own community safety patrol systems. They're safety patrol systems.
Vigilantes?
They're basically standing with a gun near the door so that nobody burns their house down like the other 1,500 buildings in the Twin Cities. Zoink Scoob, to keep their blocks and neighborhoods safe in this time of deep transition. To one, it's deep transition. To the rest of us, it's utter insanity. She and nine of her colleagues voted in favor of adding the provision to the 2020 budget. After residents and reporters contacted city officials seeking details about the proposal, they walked it back. So this is an assumption in all of this. The police have absolutely no training. You know, just like a citizen who apparently, hopefully, has a gun license, but they can actually make police-like decisions. Now, you see, normally you either go to law school or you go to that police academy, because there's more to it than riding around in a really, really tight car. You ever been in one of those police cars? Man, they are crowded in there.
A lot of
equipment. They're fast.
Yeah.
They go really zoomy, but
Man, those guys are just smooshed into those cars. But apparently now we citizens are actually trained to do that. No consideration, no concern about liabilities, because a citizen, police make mistakes, oh, all the time. Citizens wouldn't. No, that's perfectly logical. That is story number one, and which one is worserest? The Minneapolis City Council voting to defund the police and allow citizens to act in their stead.
Wouldn't it be stupiderist?
I've never had a migraine, I don't think, but does the pain start right behind your eyes and then just go shooting to the back of your head like a lightning bolt? Is that pretty much it?
Does Joey look a little blue?
Because I got me one of those. This is a world that is determined to throw off any vestiges of God. You say, no, it's supposed to be the police. No, God puts authorities in place for our good. And so when we see a society trying to throw off authority, they're really trying to throw off God. But that is merely contestant number one. I told you, this is a game show. Oh, the timing of this. We will meet, oh boy, the rest of the contestants in our Puritan game show. Which one is the worseristestest? On Wretched Radio. Perhaps you're thinking to yourself, self, when Friel encourages us to support preborn at preborn.org/wretched by providing as many ultrasounds as possible for women who are experiencing a crisis pregnancy for just $28 per ultrasound, it feels so financial, so cold, so detached, so permit me to personalize my plea.
Hi, my name is Isabella.
Hi, my name is Victoria.
We are 6 years old. Thank you for helping us.
A $28 ultrasound. Two lives saved. This isn't just about $28. This is about real human beings. Mommies see that it's a baby in their tummy. They hear the gospel. Daddy hears the gospel. Babies are saved. Souls are getting saved. Please consider supporting Preborn with as many ultrasounds as you can. Preborn.org/wretched.
What has good teaching, John Favarez, and two thumbs? That's right, Road Trip to Truth. Join us this fall as we take a road trip through topics like the gospel, creation versus evolution, depression, and much, much more. Road Trip to Truth is only possible because of the generosity of our gospel partners. Your gifts not only allow us to do Wretched every day, but they allow us to make great resources like our new video series, Road Trip to Truth. Now more than ever, people need to hear the gospel, and Road Trip to Truth is perfectly targeted for the millennial generation. So if you're not a gospel partner, would you consider becoming one today? And please know, every penny you give to us is carefully and gratefully stewarded away. Please visit wretched.org/donate for details on becoming a gospel partner so we can get rolling on Road Trip to Truth. That's wretched.org/donate.
And now a message from our brothers and sisters in China.
If I have 1 minute for American brothers and sisters, I just beg them to pray for the supply of the Bibles, and God will open the door for the Chinese people to hear the love of Christ.
The government of China tightening the screws, doing everything that they can to eradicate Christianity from their communist regime. Our brothers and sisters, they have a prayer. It is not that the persecution would stop. It is that they would receive the word of God. There are a paucity of Bibles in China, and we can change that and provide the word of God for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, not just in China, but around the globe. Bible League International, $5 per Bible. Will you answer their prayer? Wretched.org/Bible.
If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com.
heartsforthelost.com.
Books of the Bible. Colossians was written by Paul to combat false teaching, which taught adherence to dietary laws and religious festivals, and claimed special knowledge received through visions. Paul argues that Christ's sacrifice and revelation are sufficient for salvation. When you are tempted to add to the gospel, remember, Jesus is sufficient, and you can trust in him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And all of God's people said, this is Wretched Radio, playing one of America's fastest growing game show sensations. Which one is the worserist? And I'm telling you, this thing is moving along like who? Like Bernie Sanders across a debate stage. That's how quickly this thing is shuffling along. We have our first contestant, and that would be the Minneapolis City Council. Not only voting to defund the police, but to allow citizens to act in their stead. I don't even know what that looks like. So you can carry a weapon. I guess you can make an arrest or do what police apparently are supposed to be doing these days and psychoanalyze everybody. Nevertheless, this is an Isaiah 5 world. Tony, did I mention I had breakfast with a Lutheran pastor today? And I
got to
tell you something. I had myself a kind of moment. He was talking about his church, a town, decent-sized town, lovely congregation, probably been around for decades, and they had a big problem at their church. Do you know what that big problem was in this medium to small-sized town? The organ. The organ wasn't working, and here's why the organ wasn't working. They discovered what was keeping it from blowing air and making its toots. A squirrel had gotten into the transformer outside, apparently something like that, and ate a cable and caused the organ not to work. And there was something about that story, which I'm sure is a headache to that pastor and local congregation. I went, oh, the good old days when the churches were dealing with organs not working because squirrels were eating the cables. Now, what is confronting the church unimaginable decades ago. Nevertheless, our pastors, local congregations, it does not matter where you live, you get this stuff delivered to your door. I suspect because of our upside down world right now, maybe even you have asked the question, maybe we should think about like moving to the country, kind of getting away from this. I've been reading enough comments like that in different articles where people are pondering, okay, to get out of the insane world that we are currently living in, why not move to fill in the blank Utah? Boise is a nice town, I hear. Let's go to Boise. Question, would you escape the nonsense in Boise? And the answer is, it depends. And I think what it depends on is how connected you are to social media. If you move to Boise because you want to get away from the insanity, like hearing about the Minneapolis City Council voting to defund the police and yet arming the citizens to do their jobs, you'll escape it if you're not plugged into the news and the social media. But if you do continue to get the feeds and the stories and go on to the Facebook feeds and the whatever your outlet is, it's going to find you no matter where you go, which raises a question in my mind. Do I need to move to get away from the insanity, or maybe do I just need to watch my diet? Now, as diets are always personal, that's just what I'm pondering. Because I got to tell you, we are clobbered by this stuff, and it doesn't matter where you go. And I'm asking myself, I would encourage you to ask yourself, how much of this glop should I digest on a daily basis? Does it help me in my walk with the Lord? Does it strengthen the local church? Is my family thriving because I know every single detail about every single hearing that happens in Washington, every single vote, every single... Is it causing you to grow in the Lord? That is the premier question that should cause us to determine what sort of a filter am I going to put onto my world, whether you are in Boise or New York City. Tony, are you ready to play? Which one is the worserest? Yeah, and we did.
We're still playing that?
Yeah, that right, that okay. Right there. Contestant number two for your consideration. Number one, the Minneapolis police demonstrating Isaiah 5 was prophetic indeed. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. That is the sign of a world that is just detached from reality. By the way, reality is another word for God. What we observe to be true, connected to God every single time. U.S. Supreme Court declines 5-4. Apparently in Nevada, congratulations. Casinos, they can operate at 50% capacity, but churches, not so much. No more than 50 people. The only reason I bring this up is because if indeed you have been putting your hope in chariots, men, and Supreme Court justices that are presumably constitutional judges, that would be John Roberts striking again. Voting for casinos, voting down church attendance. This is not about the vote per se. This is John Roberts and putting our trust in Supreme Court judges. That's story number two for your consideration, Tony. Are you ready for story number three? UK judge rules that a private Christian foster agency can't decline to place children in same-sex households. This is based on the Equality Act of 2010, ruled while a Christian foster and adoption agency may require applicants to be evangelical Christians, it can't decline to place children in households that identify as both Christian and homosexual. Just leave it aside. I know. That's not the point. Story number three, another encroachment on Christian families and Christian businesses. Why do I bring it up? I think increasingly we need to be of that mindset. You're reading about those doctors who placed a video online talking about their experience with
that drug deal thing.
Yeah, this, please, just know you're in good hands here on Wretched Radio. We're not stupid. The video was yanked. Why? Because it was determined by Facebook and by YouTube, it was bad doctor advice. Because apparently, those organizations are now medical firms. Nevertheless, it's nothing more than shutting down a dissenting voice. Get used to it, church. Story number four. Which one is the worserest? Millions of children forced into labor as COVID-19 creates global hunger crisis. World Vision caused at least 110 million children to go hungry and pushed 8 million others into child labor and begging. But please remember, courtesy of Governor Cuomo, it's not death. So that's not all that bad right there. What is
it saying? Sad that's become my response to everything?
When
not death.
Except when it comes to abortion. That is death. Story number five, a vice president, former vice president, and now presidential candidate, haven't seen him around for a while, Joe Biden, talking about Islam. I wish we taught more in our schools about the Islamic faith. I wish we talked about all the great confessional faiths. It's one of the great confessional faiths. You know what? I do agree with Joe Biden. I wish we would talk more about Islam in the public schools. Now, which version of Islam? That's the rub right there. That's story number five. Story number six. We are now making time. I'll tell you.
Right along.
We went from running a 5,000 meter to a sprint right here. How peer contagion may play into the rise of teen girls transitioning. Oh, boy. Between 2006 and 2017, the number of gender surgeries for natal females, born a girl in the U.S. quadrupled. In the U.K., the rates of gender dysphoria for teenage girls are up 4,400% over the previous decade. Don't tell me kids don't make decisions based on what their peers are doing and what they're seeing on TV. An ailment that typically began in early childhood and overwhelmingly afflicted males suddenly has a new dominant demographic, teenage girls. This is from Brown University Public Health. Anxiety-ridden middle-class girls who once engaged in cutting or anorexia were now wearing binders. I think you can figure that out. Taking testosterone and undergoing voluntary double mastectomies, for which you would need a binder. I've interviewed over four dozen families whose teen daughters became caught in this current. They follow a pattern. A girl never expresses any discomfort with her biological sex until puberty. When anxiety and depression descend, the girl struggles to make friends. She immerses in social media and discovers transgender gurus. Of her school, on her school, they hold an assembly celebrating gender journeys or host a gay straight alliance club pushing gender ideology. At first, she tries out a new name and pronouns. Her school encourages her, keeping the secret from her parents, and then she wants more. That is story number six. Tony, I hope you've been keeping track. Which one of these stories is the worserist?
They're all nuts! They're all stupider, worserist in their own right.
That's exactly the point of this. How much nuts are you consuming, and how good is it for our souls? This is Wretched Radio.
It is ingenious when you think about it. The Mission Ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text. An effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the Mission Ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support the Mission Ball. Go to themissionball.org. Themissionball.org.
Know your church fathers. Origen of Alexandria was a 2nd century theologian who wrote one of the first systematic theology books. Origen observed that heretics twisted and misused scripture by taking verses out of context. However, he refuted them by reading the verses in context and interpreting them in the light of the rest of scripture. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Story time!
I used to love story time.
The church boy who never grew up. This is Wretched Radio, courtesy of Darren Roberts. Where's my cheaters? Where's my glasses? I'm telling the church boy. Oh, there it is. Who never grew up. He wakes up each morning later than he planned because of his lack of discipline the night before. He opens his eyes, unprepared for the day, and immediately hits snooze. He looks at the responsibilities and leadership opportunities that each day could bring as obstacles to his happiness rather than opportunity to grow as a man of God. He spends his days mostly avoiding risk, fearful at the thought of having to make leadership decisions that could expose his weaknesses. Discouragement and pride are his necklaces. An overpowering fear of man and unchecked sexual lust remind him he doesn't battle his sin like he should. Where he should be courageous, he shrinks back in order to protect his image. He thrives on the path of least resistance. His sexual cravings rage. And rather than fighting the war within, his selfish desires eclipse any recent pledge to overcome those lusts. He's known for doing the bare minimum, constantly hitting the status quo, but never pushing forward to excellence. When others are watching, he can put on a show, but when the Lord only sees, apathy, inactivity, and love for comfort are his idols of choice. He lives for his hobbies and for his downtime. That is the church boy who never grows up. And if my encounters with pastors and youth pastors whose experience is submersed in the world of young men. This is accurate for far too many. The low expectations that we have for our boys to become men is evident to almost anybody who spends any amount of time working with youth. Where are godly young men? Where are the boys who look like they probably haven't had their first shave, but they act in a more mature fashion than most 30-year-olds? Where are they? Back to our story of the boy, the church boy who never grew up. He thinks with no urgency. He ignores the long-term impact of his current habits. Nothing awakens him to his need for preparation and conviction building for future battles. Young man, if you haven't spent any time thinking about what is going to confront you next month, next year, it's time to start. It's time to start putting on your trousers and acting like a man, and to start thinking about dangers that are coming your way, to shore yourself up and to prepare for them. Everybody seemingly wants to be different. They want to be somehow caught in the attention of others, to do something that brings them some notoriety, even if it's negative. Here's an opportunity for you, Christian young man. Act like a godly young man. You're going to be different than everybody else at your school. Everybody. And you want to hear a benefit for this? And this really should not be the right motivation, but I'm telling you, you act like a godly young man and you are going to create for yourself a really big problem. You are going to have to deal with all of the young women who suddenly are very interested in spending time with you. You're not the jock. You're not the best looking guy in the school. Doesn't matter. You act like a godly man, and I am telling you, women will find you very interesting because they want you to act that way too, and very few do. I'm not saying that's the right motivation here. I'm just saying it's going to happen. Okay, I've read about it because I don't know, because I was an idiot. Free time is dedicated to amusements, sleep, video games, social media, TV, shallow friends, YouTube, hobbies, good books, deep sermons, robust discipleship, hours in the Word. Get only honorable mention for this kid. His time with mentors at church, just a box to be checked. Yeah, he tolerates counsel from godly men, endures strong preaching, puts on a veneer of godliness, but ignores putting off indwelling sin. Repentance to him is a term he uses, but not a habit he practices. His hypocrisy grows. Oh, this story isn't done, because that perhaps is you now, but that will not be you in the future. So I was thinking this morning, it happens, I was thinking, because I pulled up next to a woman. Isn't it amazing how annoyed you can get at somebody who does the very same thing you do? This woman was scrolling through her feed, looking at something I'm sure very important. Now, when I do it, it is important. When others do it, I look at them and I go, wow, just look at you, Miss Selfish, just thinking about you and nobody else, just looking at your phone. It's that important. And the thought occurred to me, what if we gave as much attention to our Bible as we did to our cell phones? What if your spouse rolled over because she's the one who goes to sleep earlier and said to you, would you please just put your Bible down and go to bed? As opposed to, are you still looking at your cell phone? What if in the middle of the night when you woke up because numbers were running through your noggin, or because you had a concern, a carking care that was causing you to get up, the first thing you did was turn and grabbed your Bible. You're waiting to be seated. You grab your pocket Bible and start reading it. You're in the doctor's office, with a mask on, of course, and you're waiting to get in, reading your Bible. At the gym, between sets, rather than scrolling through your feed, you're reading an epistle. What if we gave our Bibles as much attention as we gave our cell phones? Back to our young boy in church who never grows up. When sin brings consequences, especially when it threatens his precious reputation, he sprints for a season. But his zeal fades as his consequences become less intense. His motivation for holiness are earthly, self-absorbed. He lifts his sword to battle, but once the fight proves difficult, he lowers it and swings the flag of self-pity. When worldliness shows up his favorite hobbies, he ignores the warnings of his conscience. He craves to be able to sin like the world, but since too much worldliness would bring exposure, he finds subtle ways to feast on worldly morsels under the disguise of Christian liberties. Does that sound like you, young man? Your story continues. He wastes his late teens and 20s, and now he's a husband and a father. He wants the benefits of marriage, but not the cost. His wife suffers under his neglect. She married a boy in a man's body. She tries to prod him, but he's nurtured self-love for too long to listen to her burdened pleas. He's full of excuses why he can't lead the way she wants him to. He thickens more smoke screens to hide his heart of hypocrisy. She wonders where the guy went who seemed to be striving for holiness while they were dating, but now rarely talks with her about the truth, rarely opens a Bible. His mask is now off at home, though this does not stop his quest to protect his reputation in church. Ah, the boy who never grew up, who treats his wife poorly, is not available to his children, certainly not leading, looks great at church. She eventually gives up, self-feeds from the word, struggles, and is often discouraged. The kids begin to grow up under the influence of a boy dad. He needs downtime, his man cave, hobbies. He salves his conscience by providing financially and claims, "Hey, I'm around more than most dads." He strives to become their friend but neglects their soul. He never sits down to prepare them for the battles ahead. Frankly, he rarely helps them work through heart issues in the moment. They're constantly caught off guard when facing temptation because of his neglect. His boy tendencies remain. And by the time the kids hit their teens, his outbursts of anger and neglect of a godly example have lost his credibility, his hypocrisy acute, unmistakable, undeniable, his anger. He hammers his kids to strive in areas he neglects. And on his deathbed, if he's even in Christ, he reflects with grief and sorrow on his years poorly spent as he looks with longing eyes at a wife he never shepherded and upon kids who resented him. His final words are, "Oh, how I hated instruction and spurned reproof. I'm ashamed before all. Forgive me." So ends the tragic biography of the church boy who never grew up. This is Wretched Radio. Just when you think that this organization can't be any more fine, the Masters Academy International, this is a ministry worthy of your consideration and support. Training indigenous pastors now in 17 nations around the globe to efficiently equip men who speak the language, know their communities, know the culture, to rightly divide the word of truth and fill empty pulpits. It is brilliant, it is wise, and it is efficient. Please consider supporting the Masters Academy International, wretched.org/pastor. But if that doesn't persuade you, they're dedicating a week of prayer and they're inviting you to join them in praying for indigenous pastors who are under a great deal of pressure and even threats. Please give your consideration to the Masters Academy International at wretched.org/pastor.
Glad you're here today. Always appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio, and appreciate when you get a hold of us. Make it a conversation, if you will. So if you have a question, comment, conundrum, or snark, a news story you think we should see, or a wretched story you'd like to share, email idea@wretched.org or voicemail Beep Talk 1-877-282-BEEP. Let me share one with you. I stumbled across Todd's video on how to pick a church during what has become God's graceful call back for me unto his fold. I'm writing this to let you know how much God has used you for his glory in Christ and my salvation. I listen daily and am always humbled and excited to serve him more after listening. To share your story with us, idea@wretched.org or 1-877-282-BEEP. To partner with us to make more stories like this possible, become a gospel partner. Visit wretched.org/donate for details. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
And in the meantime, while we in the West are still experiencing struggles and challenges courtesy of COVID in Eastern Europe, the effects have been even more profound. Nevertheless, Tomorrow Club's continuing their great ministry work in European countries.
Right now, Tomorrow Club leaders are putting together more than 2,000 care packages to deliver to the neediest families in the towns and villages we serve. The packages will provide enough food for a couple of weeks, basic food items like buckwheat, macaroni, rice, canned meat, oil. There's even a package of candies for the kids and, in some places, seeds for the garden. And because most of these packages will be going to unbelieving families, along with the food items, there'll be a simple gospel presentation.
Would you please consider supporting Tomorrow Clubs at this time? Wonderful gospel ministry reaching the poorest of the poor in Eastern Europe. Please learn more. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 1738. John Wesley's conversion eventually leads to the founding of the Methodist Church. Although he had no intention of forming a separate denomination, Wesley's followers left the Anglican Communion and founded churches throughout England and America. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The church boy who never grew up and became a really big fool. This is Wretched Radio. Don't know if you're aware of the specificity of the treatment of foolish people in the book of Proverbs, but the book of Proverbs digs deep into the heart of an individual who demonstrates that they are foolish by identifying the progression of a fool and the five types of fool that exist. Young man, young lady, you don't want to be any of these. And if you happen to hear this list and the progression of fools that is given by searchingforwisdom.org, you can do something about it. You don't have to remain a fool. The Hebrew language, unlike most of the time, happens to be quite clear. It uses a different word for a different type of fool, which is why when you read the book of Proverbs, which you should if you're a young man or woman, a lot, you will see different treatments for different kinds of fools. It'll just use the word fool in English, but sometimes it'll say you need to treat a fool this way. No, you need to treat a fool that way. No, actually, you should treat a fool that way. Answer a fool. Don't answer a fool. The rod to the fool. Drive out a fool. Well, which one is it? And the answer is found in which type of fool the Hebrew language is identifying. Let us begin with the naive fool. The Hebrew word would be, which is all the Hebrew word. They sound the same. There's minor jots and tittles that are involved, but this word is, it's one who's open to the truth, but is also open to error or sin. Oh, this is so common. I don't think there's a teenager who doesn't go through this phase. They see their parents. They were raised perhaps in the church, so they got a fool in that camp. Okay, yeah, sometimes they get it if it's kind of easy. But they've also got a foot in the world. The things that they'd like to be watching or consuming or doing or the crowd that they'd like to be hanging with. So they're both. That means you're a fool. So if you're young and that described you, you need to know the Bible actually calls you a fool. You need to close the door on the wisdom of the world because it's all lies. You need to slam shut the door of temptation. Otherwise, you're going to remain a fool. You're not. This is the P, P-T-H-I-Y is the Hebrew spelling. Go ahead, say that with me. Told you. They love and take pride in their open-mindedness, but they're gullible and easily seduced. They don't think through what others are telling them, taking actions without thinking through the consequences. Perhaps it is demonstrated when you say things like this. That'll never happen to me. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to be fine. I won't get hurt. I'm not going to do that. That's the fool. They are at a fork in the road with respect to moral choice, and they can go one way or the other. You've deluded yourself into thinking, I'm going to go the right way. Nope, you're already set yourself on a wrong path, and you're a fool. Number two type of fool. Now, the Hebrew word for this is, which is different than the first type. You heard me. It's different than the first type of fool, which is, this is the Ewil, E-W-I-L, fool, is the naive fool, is the naive fool who in his openness to good or evil has made a moral choice or series of choices to do wrong in some dimension of his life and has chosen to persist in that wrong choice by not repenting. So you're the first fool, but you're really, you've chosen that left side. You've gone that worldly way in one component of your life, and you're not repenting. You're sticking with it. What is it? Rebellion to parents? Sexual stuff? Pride? What is it? Well, you're a fool. A perverse fool is taking the proud decision that he knows better and is beginning to persist in his waywardness. He doesn't want someone to tell him that he's wrong. Having started down the wrong path through naivete, he's continuing on the path through rebellion, ignoring the consequences. It's a natural, logical outcome of someone who has, in their pride, not directly chosen to follow God in his path, which is why if you're a teenager, choose this day. Choose your path. And if you're saying, well, you know, I kind of have, then you haven't. Well, I mostly have, then you haven't. Well, I'm gonna, you haven't. Well, I don't want to be kind of a fuddy-duddy Christian, then you're a fool. And you are open to danger. And you're in trouble already. The number three type of fool, the scoffing fool. This would be the Lutz fool. Scoffer can result from a perverse fool's quest to persist in his waywardness while refusing to be told he is wrong. This, in effect, the cover-up, living according to his desires, but still trying to make it look good. So in other words, you're a fool who's kind of played around with it. You haven't made the decision where you're going to go. You've chosen a sin or sins. You're not repenting of them. And now you're trying to cover them up. Do you hear the progression? Do you feel it? And if you think, well, no, not me, well, then you're definitely a fool. Because that is the progression. And sin is never satisfied. And if you aren't killing it, it's going to be killing you progressively. And you will succumb to it more and more and more. The scoffing fool has not yet totally rejected truth. He's still trying to blindly seek wisdom. However, in his insolence, he wants truth on his terms. That ain't truth. Not wanting genuine truth from others, looking for truth that accommodates his pride and evil desires. Hence, his blindness. He still kind of wants to find the truth, but his sin and his desires, they interfere, so he actually can't. That's level number three. Level number four. If the scoffing fool, which is level three, hardens his heart and chooses to persist in his path instead of repenting, he's going to become a kasil fool. Also translated, stupid or dullard, stubborn fool. Kasil literally means fat, implying someone who has a layer around his heart or his head, so that the truth cannot penetrate. Sometimes the Hebrew language is really cool, isn't it? His commitment with his enjoyment of pleasures and doing evil make it harder to repent. He's beginning to hate knowledge, continuing to harden his heart and becoming increasingly dull to the truth. If any of these levels sounds like you, You have a chance to escape becoming fool number five, which is the committed fool. You have regressed to the point where you've become totally apostate and reprobate. The Hebrew word is Nabal. There was a man named that who was a fool, which means stupid, wicked, and vile. Hey, don't use those words. Hey, that's what the Hebrew means. If you are an unrepentant, stubborn, Nabal fool, you're stupid. You can get straight A's, a 4.0, the scholarship to the university, if they ever actually open. But you don't have any wisdom. You don't have an ounce of sense. That's where you're headed. Characterized as at once irreligious and churlish, denying God, insulting God, acting immorally, disgracefully, and senseless of religion and moral things. He has no perception of ethical and religious claims and is disgraceful. You become your own law, apostate, reprobate, to the point of rationalizing away God's existence. Those are the five steps of the fool. Now, let's not talk about you for a moment. Mom and Dad, let's talk about you and your foolish kids. What does the Bible say that you are to do? It depends on what level of foolish child that you have, because the Bible gives you a range of responses to these kids. And if you are one of these levels of fool and you're eavesdropping, listen very carefully. Mom and Dad, there are some fools, just the raising of an eyebrow can get the job done. Because, you know, they're just young and foolish, and they just, all they need from you is a scowl, and they melt. Job done. But sometimes fools need more than that. They need more than instruction. Some fools can actually learn and gain instruction. Some fools, they just require a scowling. Other fools, they need a rod to the back. If I'm not mistaken, that's level four. That impudent fool, that persisting in sin fool, is somebody who needs a rod to the back to drive out foolishness. Level five, the committed fool, utterly apostate and reprobate, and such a damage to the home and society. Mom and Dad, it actually gives you permission to drive them out because they are so harmful to the other kids or to your marriage or to your church or to your community. You have a wide range of options, but you would do well to label which type of fool you have, because every child to varying degrees is. And utilize God's means to drive the foolishness out of them so that they do not grow up to be the church boy or church girl who never grew up. Mom and Dad, you are charged and commanded to do that. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.